Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So, you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So, whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
Families have a lot going on. Let Ollie help manage the mental load with new cognitive health supplements for everyone 4 and up, like delicious Ollie Focus Pops or Ollie Mellow Pops for kids. And for parents, try 3 new Brainy Chews to help you focus, chill out, or get energized. Find these cognitive health buddies for the whole fam at Ollie.com. That's Ollie.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
The following program is rated TV-MA-LSV. It contains strong language, sexual situations, violence, and nudity. It is intended only for mature audiences.
Hi, Scout.
Hi, babe.
Oh, look at you shaking your boobies at me.
I know. I had like cutlets on all day and now they're free. Yeah. And I feel great.
Are you still wearing the cutlets?
No, I wasn't. But an FYI, ladies out there, cutlets sideways, nah. Cutlets up and down for the small tatas out there.
Oh, yeah, because it pushes
them.
They
look great.
Really?
Yeah. Dude, I look like I had some tatas.
Hey, everybody. Happy Tuesday. Just so you know, I am in, where are we? Marlboro. I can't even say it. Marlboro, Massachusetts. Scott, where are you right now?
I'm in Philadelphia.
Everybody thought you canceled out of the show because you were like busy doing dicking off. I was like, she's freaking
off. When have I ever canceled a call?
I know.
Hilarious.
So we're in Massachusetts.
Because there's a strike going on. So they're like, well, she's not working.
I don't know. I'm like, oh, I don't know. She's like, she'd be here if she could. So we're in Massachusetts and it is 9:40 at night. Feels like it's 2 o'clock in the morning.
It does.
And I'm with one of my best friends and Scout's best friends, Serena Vincent. I love this girl. And we've had a little couple cocktails. It's the end of TerrorCon, the end of a Saturday night. We're recording this. And this is when all the good juice comes out. And Scout is in, last I heard you were in the cornfields.
I was in the cornfields. I just got off of set.
Were you actually in the cornfields?
I'm tired, bitch, and I am wasted off of some agua.
I don't even know what you're like when you're like wasted.
Are you fucking kidding me? You were at my bachelorette party. You know what I'm like when I was wasted?
No, but you're so cute. You're not like, you don't get like crazy. When you get drunk, do you fight with Tom?
No.
Does it depend on the alcohol?
No, I don't fight. I don't fight. It just depends. Yeah, it depends on the alcohol, if I become a slut or not.
Oh.
Who wants a good partner? People, come on. So it depends. Like, rum just makes me, like, super horny.
Rum?
Vodka just makes me fun and flirty. Mm. And micheladas make me, like, go crazy.
Can I introduce you properly, Serena?
Yes, please.
Okay, so this is one of my oldest friends. She's young, not oldest, like it that way, but she's fucking stunning. Serena Vincent. You guys know her from many genre movies, including, well, God, how many? Cabin Fever. How many horror movies have you done?
I don't know.
There's been quite a few.
Probably over a dozen horror movies, right?
I think so. I mean, my kid's obsessed with fucking Power Rangers.
Power Rangers.
I was going to say, can we talk about
another TV is a nice crossover.
Yes.
What'd you say?
I know we can't, like, can we talk about like this sort of stuff?
Oh, no, I guess not.
Well, this is like in the past. We're not talking about, like, I just want to know, like, this is who she is from, you know, we're not going to talk about, we're going to talk about other real stuff.
Yeah.
We're not going to promote those movies.
Right.
But this is
how you might know
me from. This is how, this is where you might know her from, which you would definitely know her, aside from being hot as fuck. I'm just saying.
Oh,
I love you. You are hot as fuck.
We're all hot as fuck. And and I'm so, like, just I've watched you guys grow this from, like, the beginning when it was just a thought.
Yeah.
And I'm so impressed and proud and inspired and fucking loving it. What'd you say?
Like, I'm fucking shocked.
No, I'm not shocked. No, I'm not shocked.
You bitches made this happen.
No.
I've had some pretty amazing things happen this weekend. I'm bummed that you're not here.
Dude, I'm so bummed.
There have been quite a few people that have, like, come up and talked to me about their virginity. There's been two beautiful women that have come up and said, like, I'm a virgin and I'm in my 20s and in my 30s and you guys have made me feel okay about it. Another family who were beautiful, who came up and said that their son passed, unfortunately, a couple of weeks ago from suicide, and that I was the reason why they were able to come out and get out of the house. And they came back today and I got their information and they're going to come on our Patreon and we're going to be friends and it's going to be all good. And, you know, and there's just really, like, awesome things. I never, you know, we got that message from, oh my God, why am I retarded right now? I'm blanking on her name, from Terrifier. Oh my God. I'm like, I've been drinking.
Catherine?
We got a message recently and she was saying that, people have come up to her since she's came on our podcast.
Oh, yeah, Catherine
Corcoran. I'm literally fucking brain dead because today's been a long day. So Catherine was saying that she sent you the message and then sent me the message that was beautiful about how you guys are really changing people's lives. And it's a big deal. And they've heard her on the show and this woman cried and saw her on her, you know, her panel and cried and all of that stuff. So it's been, you know, I guess we don't really think about that stuff too much, but when you do a convention and they come up to you and they're like, you did this or you did that or whatever, that's not really the reason why we do it. So maybe that's not why.
Yeah, we're talking about that last episode. Yeah. I mean, but that's kind of how the world goes around though, you know? Like, we're all kind of just, like, helping one another, whether we know it or not. I mean, I think that's what's so beautiful about, like, a relationship.
I think when you do anything authentically, I think when you do anything authentically from your heart and all these conversations that you have, they're not scripted, right? That you can touch people that way. Like, people hear authenticity. People hear when you're honest. People know when you're bullshitting them. And you're talking about real stuff. You're talking about fun stuff, naughty stuff, fun stuff, and, like, real shit. And we have the benefit of going to cons and, like, meeting these people that we're, you know, that you're, we have that benefit. Face to face.
Serena, how do you deal with, how do you deal with, like, fans coming up to you and talking to you about, like, personal things in their lives?
So I cry.
Yeah.
I sometimes do. Like, I feel like, I was like, there's a noise. What's that? So I feel like my emotions are at the surface, not in, like, a crazy psycho girl way, but in, like, an empathetic kind of a way.
It's really authentic. And your heart is authentic.
And so, you know, I heard some stories today that I fucking cried right with them. And I was like, I'm so sorry that that happened to you. And I'm so happy that my little show got you through it. So I really do just try to connect like I would with a friend, like anyone else. Like, that is genuine. And I think that bad things happen to good people every single day. And I think there's a lot of hurt, traumatized kids in the world, right? I mean, everybody has a childhood, everybody has a story, but we get to meet these people, like, as adults, and we hear their stuff. And so, yeah, I'll, like, laugh with you, cry with you, but I don't know. Yeah. Sometimes I cry right with them.
Oh,
awesome.
Yeah.
I don't know, all the same.
It's just like, what'd you say?
I said, we're all the same.
Oh, we're allowed to drink on this podcast.
Of course we are.
Yeah.
Christmas. Oh, Scout, I want to show you something. So there was a beautiful woman that came to the show today that brought a gift for you because you weren't here. And I said, I would be glad to take it for you and give it to you. And she's like, it's your birthday. It's your wedding. It's your, it's all these things. She thought,
I'm so bummed that I'm not there.
I know.
When was your birthday?
Well, it was like
February.
Oh, that's right. Carter's. Okay. But it's like an all-in-one because it's such a great gift. And she brought this for you. She brought you two different sizes of this. I'm going to get it for you.
And I wanted, sizes? Wait, can I guess?
Well, she found.
Can you alone?
Is it a thong? It's not the thong. Wait, but I know you what it is. I was like, oh my God, she's going to be so excited. So hang on. I'm going to get it for you.
Oh my God. I love it. I love it.
She knows you don't have anything from your movies.
Let me hold this.
Oh my God. Right. She bought me something from my movies. Guys. What the fuck?
Green worn shirt from Rob Zombie's Halloween.
Wait, what the fuck? She brought that?
She brought it for you.
Look at that's genuine. See? That's such genuine love and excitement.
So she wanted to give this to you, and this is yours. See?
Oh my God. I love that I get to have something from it.
So this is yours, and I'm going to bring it home to you. And yeah, see, it's stuff like that. That's like that. That shit doesn't happen in like the real world. You know what I mean? Like,
I think we're so lucky to do what we do. And like, as actors, I feel like we're, I don't know. For me, I'll speak for myself. Like, I just like have to connect. Like I'm just like programmed to like want to connect to people. And so we get to do that, not just when we're working on set, but at least.
Do you think that that's everybody, or do you think that that takes a certain kind of person to do that? Like, do you think everybody here is having those connections? Do you think Robert Englund's having those connections, or do you think there's like, it's like, there's so many people that you don't have the time to do that, but we have the time to do that. Or do you think we're open to the connection?
I think that he's having many connections. I've had many connections with him.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
we'd have to ask him. You should have him on the podcast.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh my God, I would love him on the podcast. And Heather.
Heather would come on, totally. I can't wait to get Robert to come on too. She would totally come on.
For them together.
Oh my God. That would be really interesting to have on the show.
Yeah, I feel like I would learn a lot from her.
Yes, I know. She's like, you cried, Scout.
Maybe when she's here. Maybe when she's here.
Yes.
Filming with me. And then I'll just like,
oh my God, perfect.
Do it together or something. Maybe.
Does anyone know that's listening right now that are we allowed to say that she's going to be on the show?
Maybe not.
Going to be on your movie?
Who knows who's going to be?
What movie are you doing? Can you talk about it?
No. I can talk about anything.
Well, neither you can. You're on it. You're doing a movie that's not Struck. You could talk about it.
I just don't know if they want me to talk about it yet.
Oh, it's not been released. Like announced stuff.
I guess it's on IMDb, but like, I don't know. Like, I guess I would have to ask them if I can like talk about shit.
Mm. Oh, you look pretty.
You look beautiful. Yeah.
Oh, thanks.
I know you were in the cornfields yesterday.
I was in the cornfield. I'm playing such a girly girl.
Really?
Yeah. Such a girly girl. And she like cares about like her makeup, and she like hosts like a YouTube channel. Hey everybody! Hey guys! Like,
hey guys!
I'm sitting in bed. Just had a crap, and
yeah, I'm like, I'm filming. I just filmed with someone today that I just met recently with you, Serena, at a con,
and
who has the beer company in Big Bear. Why am I blanking?
Oh, yeah. Oh my God. Oh my God. Stop it right now.
Why am I blanking on
it? Oh, wait. Yeah. You were going to have it. Please edit the podcast. Please edit the part where we don't know his name out of the podcast.
I love you so much.
Look at your fucking call sheet.
I'm far too drunk to figure
Andrew,
out.
Andrew. I wanted to say Andy, but Andrew.
Yeah. Andrew. Yeah. Oh, he's amazing.
Yeah. So I worked with him today.
Andrew.
So I worked with him today, and I, you know, being from LA, I didn't know about ticks and chiggers.
No.
Bitch. Did you get them?
No, but bitch.
What? Girl, I had them on my ass.
Bitch.
What?
I'm freaking the fuck out. I'm in like a little crop top pink top. And I'm the one that's dressed less. Like, I have no clothes on.
No. Oh, that's right. You're 10 years younger.
How the fuck?
In 10 years, you can wear more clothes.
Exactly.
You play the mom. Nobody asked you that.
Wear the house. You're wearing a suit.
Yeah.
How the fuck am I going to survive not getting this shit? And they say it so
nonchalant. You're going to get it. And you're going to take clear nail polish. And you're going to have someone take the clear nail polish and put it on wherever the triggers have inserted themselves in your body. And they're going to come out because I had them on my ass.
Are you serious?
Yes. And you have to take clear nail polish and you put it on where the triggers go in and they come out from that
no
spot.
No fucking way.
They said duct tape. No. They said you're supposed to put duct tape and see if you have any on there. But then the ticks, they're like, don't worry. Like, some of them have Lyme disease, but if you get a bullseye, then we can treat it. I'm like,
What you need to do is every night you come home, you need to take all your clothes off. You need to go into your bathroom in the mirror, do it right now on the show so we can record it.
Yeah.
And take all your clothes off and check for you. Bend over, spread your cheeks. Awesome. Beautiful. And
everybody needs to join the Patreon.
Wait, do they dig through the clothes?
Huh?
So they sprayed
a bunch of fucking shit. So we all stink. We all are
be super careful of DEET because Kane Hodder has ended up in the emergency room from DEET poisoning.
Okay. DEET is what they're
spraying. What's in the bug spray.
Yeah.
That's what keeps them away. And if you get too much in your bloodstream, you can get very, very sick.
You know what we should do? Probably not on the podcast, but when we're done, is look up natural like things. Cause you could like I just heard that you can put vanilla extract all over your body and it keeps mosquitoes away, which I'm totally going to try because I get eaten alive. But maybe there's something else that you can do that's natural so you don't have all that deep.
Be careful with that stuff.
Invisalign in and out, I'm putting in my pocket. And then when I put it back in,
No. First of all, let's get like a Ziploc or something. Like a Ziploc for your.
You're not on a low budget movie, are you?
That's what I do. Oh my God. I'm constantly putting my stupid retainer like in dumb places and then I lose it and I have to get a new one.
Guys, do I not look like Britney Spears, like, hit me, baby, one more. Like, I look like I'm about to go on stage.
We're still talking about Britney. She doesn't like our microphones. And you know what? I can't even put it. I don't even. I can't even figure it out right now.
You're done. Do you guys want to read some of these responses that we have?
You know what? I haven't seen any. So can you read them so we can hear? So I filled Serena in a little bit on our last episode, which was a lot of sort of my. I don't know how to say it, like my trying to understand sort of the way the world is evolving now. And
I understand are we talking about this?
Yeah, you want to talk about it? Yeah, talk about it.
My thought is like, I appreciate that you guys are having the conversation and asking all the questions that nobody is asking. And also you're doing it from a place of like support and inclusivity and love. And not a place of judgment. So in my mind, like, it kind of like reminds me of like listening to Loveline when I was, you know what I mean? Like you're actually just having the conversation. So, but I don't know. I actually didn't listen to the episode. Sorry.
No, I pulled her in.
I listened to like the pieces, you know, on the articles. But yeah, let's talk about it.
I mean, I haven't seen anything, so I don't know how it was received. I was obviously nervous to air the episode, partially because it is incredibly vulnerable for me to talk about my friend and how I feel about it. And
you got a lot of really nice responses back from that stuff.
That's nice. Yeah, did I get nice stuff about the other question?
No, I think it was all like kind of focused on your stuff and dealing with your friend that was suicidal.
I love it. Do you want to read some stuff for us?
Sure. You know, I love reading. Serious about this week's episode, relatable. Hello, ladies. My name is Sarah. First, I just want to say your podcast is the greatest, and I always look forward to every Tuesday for the new episode. The latest episode was very eye-opening and relatable, and I'm grateful for y'all being very open and honest. Listening to Danielle talk about her friend who's struggling and eventually ended his life, he sounded like he could have been living with borderline personality disorder. Mm. People who have this usually have that favorite person, and they put everything on that one person. It's like their happiness depends on them. If you don't answer their texts or phone calls or don't talk to them every day, they punish you by ignoring you. And when you do talk to them, they blame you for the time they didn't talk to you. They in turn say you don't care about them anymore and don't want to be their friend. People with BPD gaslight the people in their life. I'm not saying they are bad people, because they aren't. It's just a part of the disorder that isn't pleasant or easy for the people that love them to deal with. There's a high rate of drug use and suicidal behavior with this disorder. With your friends, it just seems like he didn't want to get the help you so desperately needed. Danielle, you did the right thing by setting those boundaries with him. I have BPD and I lost friends because, for the longest time, I didn't want any help for anything I was going through, drugs and suicide attempts. I eventually did and got clean and sober, 5 years clean, and I'm slowly regaining the trust of those friendships that I once lost. Much love to both of you ladies. Fucking good job.
Thank you.
I'm getting sober as well, too. Yeah. And realizing.
Wow. And I think it's still like a hard pill to swallow.
Yeah.
You know, it's obviously incredibly vulnerable to like put that stuff out there and to just be like, here's how I feel about it. And, you know, it is what it is. And it's really eye-opening. Like, I didn't think about a lot of that stuff that she said. I mean, I just didn't think about it. If that makes any sense.
Yeah. It's hard when you're in it with someone that's like that. I mean, you just want to do everything that you can to help someone, but then when it's just like repetitive nature, it's like, what?
Yeah. You're just like, I don't know what to do anymore.
Yeah. You feel helpless.
And you know, your job as a friend is to be like, I want to do whatever I can do to make you okay. But at the end of the day, it's really not, it's just not your fucking responsibility. But yeah. It's incredibly hard to know that you have to live with yourself after the fact. God forbid something happens. And I honestly never thought in this particular case that anything like this would happen.
Anyone thinks anything's gonna happen.
Do you think there are like signs of stuff or, yeah.
You know? You just like hope that that person gets help or hope that that person.
I mean, I always felt like if I feel like something is going to happen, then it's probably not going to happen. If I don't know that it's going to happen, then it's probably going to happen. I don't know if that resonates or not, but I feel like my friends that have passed away because they've taken their lives, I knew there was issues, but I didn't know the depths of the issue. And my friends that have talked about, you know, I'm going to do this, or I'm going to do that, or I'm going to kill myself because you broke up with me, or whatever it may be. And I know a lot of people have been in those situations. I feel like if you're saying it out loud, you're probably not going to do it. It's like you do it in secrecy. I don't know. That's been my experience. I don't know, Serena or Scout, if you've ever had that happen of like breakups or people that have threatened that stuff and how that's come about.
I don't want to say every single person because that's not true, but I would say at least three significant relationships in my life, including a marriage. I heard that a lot. Yeah. I'm just going to kill myself. And it's a terrible, terrible place.
Is that like, that's holding someone hostage.
It absolutely is. It's like it's gaslighting at its finest, and so you're paralyzed by it, right? Because
God for fucking bed.
Yeah, they do, and
it's on you forever.
It's on you forever, right? So it changes like how you would react. It almost like they fuck up. And so you want to be so mad and break up, but then they say that, right? And so
that's what it is.
It just keeps you there.
It's like the ultimate manipulation.
And you have to you have to just eventually say like, I don't care what you do. Like,
and I had an ex that went so extreme that I felt like I couldn't break up with him because he would harm himself in I didn't think he would kill himself, but like he would fucking harm, like he would, he was an alcoholic. So he would just like go from zero to fucking 100. Like we were at a circus show, and then he thought that I was looking at one of the performers.
Oh, and like, God.
And at that point, like we had gone through so many of these cycles that I was like, fucking stop. I wasn't like, you know, baby. I was like, enough. Like, I'm not doing this anymore. And we got into my rental, and I was filming at the time. We got into my rental and he threatened to fucking open the goddamn fucking door and jump out on the freeway. Like he threatened that he was going to fucking, cause I was taking him to the airport. I was like, this is done. Like, we're done. Like, this is, I can't do this anymore. And he was like threatening to fucking like throw himself, that I had to like swerve over to the, you know, the, on the freeway off on the side. And I'm like, this is dangerous, not just to you, but to me as well. And then he kicked the fucking windshield and cracked the entire fucking windshield. And I was like, I can't handle this behavior. But all of my partners before I went to SLA, I don't know, Serena, if you know what this is, we talk about this all the time. All of my partners were like that. So if my relationships weren't like that extreme, if my partner wasn't like that, I didn't know what was going on. I didn't know. I thought that was the healthy. I thought all partners were like that.
So all of my partners were like that too. I'm nodding because I can't tell you the amount of fights on the freeway with men driving crazy and all of the things that I have had, or I'm going to jump out of the car. I'm going to kill myself. I'm going to, starting from 16. Yeah. And so I share that with you. And at some point, you know, I went to a lot of therapy, got out of a marriage. And I was like, I don't even know if I ever want to be married again because of that.
Yeah. I don't know what it is. I mean, even an ex-girlfriend was like that as well. Like, I don't know what it is about being in a relationship that you think that sort of behavior is okay.
Well, and then you ask, like, what is it about me? Like, what is it about me that is attracting this kind of a person?
Because you've never done that to somebody.
No.
I've never put that on somebody else.
I've never done that, but I was acting crazy in other ways because that was pulling out but not like, I'm going to fucking jump out of the car.
What I learned in like my therapy for this is when you're in a relationship with people like this, it makes you crazy because you can't, like, it's so manipulative because they get mad. So they do something to piss you off, right? Like he got jealous about the fucking Cirque guy. And then suddenly now they're mad that you're mad. So you're not allowed to even be mad about anything. You're not allowed to feel sad about anything. You're not allowed to have any feelings about anything in the relationship. If you communicate that, then they just get mad and act out. And then it's like this victim. It's the triangle of victim, prosecutor, recipient.
So where does that come from? Where does that start? Like what's where does that originate from?
I don't know. People pleasing?
Yeah.
Is it, but I mean from them.
Trauma. I think trauma when you're a kid and not dealing with it. Like I think.
But we've had trauma and had.
But I was very,
like, I wouldn't put that on somebody.
I was very, in my 20s, I did play the victim a lot. Like nothing was my fault. Like you hate me. You don't love me. Like I did have a little bit of victim shit in me.
Did you know you were doing it? Like, were you conscious of doing it? Was it planned or you just now reflected?
I wasn't until I saw like the patterns in, it was like me being the victim and then dealing with these fucking crazy asses. And it just like kind of mixed in. It just like, it was like the perfect sandwich for a bit. I was like, this is lovely. But I didn't realize that until I went through therapy and SLA and I realized, oh fuck, like I am the codependent victim little girl over here. and I'm dealing with the fucking outburst assholes.
The codependent thing is, yeah. But what's interesting is that like that's never the thing that like attracts you to the person, right? Those guys present as like this together, cool, kind, like chivalry. Like they present as this,
broken.
My experience. What?
But broken.
But broken. And so we're like, oh, but let me love you. Let me just like love you enough. And maybe it'll heal that wound. Nope.
It's crazy. Serena, you have like you have great parents.
I do.
So like Scout and I have broken families.
I mean, my situation, we have great parents that are still in my life and they're fabulous parents and people, but like our family was broken and like very like wild. We had our own story, you know, and I'm sure that that had something to do with it.
Mm-hmm. Are these like things that you're aware of now as you're in your relationship, or are these things that you're sort of still figuring out as you're growing, or how has that affected you?
You mean, in my relationship now?
Sure. Like, I mean, you're married for the second time and like, yeah. How have things changed for you?
Well, now I feel like being married for the second time and like having like a whole lifetime of volatile relationships, I have no patience. Mm-hmm. And like, I want us to be great. And I just need us to be great. I just need this to work. I just want, you know, and so I have no patience for.
You think that's different now that you're in your four, like as you've gotten
for
older?
For sure. Like for sure. Like I don't have like patience for drama or bullshit and I think it's great. So I'm not seeing that in my life.
Like Scout and I, obviously there's like a decade difference. And yeah. I always try to tell her like, once you get in your 40s and you see like this, none of this matters. You're going to be all good. Like all the things that are so big and so important and so traumatic and so yeah. deep, you're going to be like, fuck yourself. And you're going to be all good. So
and then you're going to have a kid and it's just like, oh, all that stuff. Like,
no, you're exactly.
No, like, you know, you have a toddler to take care of, you know, you don't need a giant.
You don't need another one.
You know, you can't. You don't have the bandwidth.
It is so funny though. And I don't know if this is like, I'm just like finally seeing like a change in myself, or maybe it's from being friends with women like you that I'm just learning so much all the time. Like the set that I'm with, I'm talking to these like, they're my age. They're like, maybe like a little bit younger, maybe like 4 to 5 years younger than me, but like, you know, they're in their 30s. And like, I'm giving them advice because yes. they're like these insecure, like, you know, letting men like do this and this. And I'm like, no, oh. I'm like, there is a time and place. Like, I'm like that strong person that you guys. Hey,
good for you. So
I was literally on the van, like coming here to record this. And I was like, oh my God. I was like, Danielle would be so proud of me right now because of I just gave this young woman to not deal with the bullshit.
Yes.
It's amazing.
Yeah. That's so good. I mean, that's really, that's the goal, right? To be like, you're fucking awesome. Like, you don't have to do that anymore.
Yeah.
You're good.
Yeah.
So
one line.
Like the guys out there listening.
Yes.
Okay. Please. So, because anyway, I don't know if this is your experience or your experience, but in my experience with every man that was crazy like this, at some point when they would come down, they'd cry and were tearful and would apologize and all the things and say, I know I'm doing it when I'm doing it, but I can't stop. Mm. And that would just infuriate me. Cause
I got that from men and women.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So if you're that person, okay, men and women, if you're that person that knows that you're purposefully hurting your person, stop. Just stop. Like, go get help.
Yeah.
Go get help.
I think
life's too fucking short.
God, it's gotta be.
Love's too fucking. Love's too good. Like, you know,
but why does it take people, me included? Why does it take people so long to get help? I don't understand why we'd rather repeat this cycle and be in this sadness and be in this like this energy than rather than just like get help? Is it because it's too expensive? Is it because like people are lazy? Like what is it? Like, I don't know.
I think they're not ready.
That's what it is, right? Yeah. It's like,
when when you do it, you're ready. Yeah. And I think everybody has a different time frame. I know. Sometimes it takes certain, like, I know certain men that won't be able to understand this podcast or conversation until they're 57 years old.
Yeah.
And I know some women until they're 45 years old.
Yeah. I mean, I was a late bloomer. I was, at least, trying to better myself and get, like, I didn't do that until like I was in my late 20s.
None of us did it until, I didn't do it until my mid 30s, girlfriend.
No, I'm gonna tell you something. I had a friend, it was my mom's friend. And when I was 23 and Cabin Fever was in the theaters. Oh, when we talk a lot of time about movies, what
does yeah, it's thing? Fine.
And, what? But like, you know, really? but I was like broke because, you know, the whole story, that's a whole different podcast. We can talk about that, but, cause you don't get paid, but, she was my mom's friend. Her name is Libby. And she sent me a plane ticket. She called me and she was like, I want you to come visit me. I live in Oregon. I'm sending you a plane ticket for your birthday. I know this seems weird, but just if you'll trust me, get on the plane. And so for my 23rd birthday, I got on the plane and I went to Oregon, and she just like ripped open my life because she knows my parents. She knows like my childhood. She knows my story. She knows all the things. And like, if it weren't for her, I don't know how old I would have been when I was actually like digging into my own bullshit. But she like forced me to do it. And at 23, and then it changed my life.
How old was she when you were 23?
How old is Libby now? She's like 15 years older. So she was not like our age now.
She's like 40.
Yeah.
Ish.
Yeah.
It's so funny. Like,
yeah, she changed my life.
As I'm processing this, because I'm like, I have a lot of mommies that like fucking help me through some dark times. You guys go with me. Yeah. But I know that you think it was her, but it really was you. Like you
I was open to it.
But isn't it so crazy? Like, we go, like, she helped, but it's like, no, but like, it was you.
Was ready to receive.
I was ready to receive it.
I was getting the
same. But, and also it sometimes it does like take that older. I think that's what's so cool about what you guys are doing in the podcast. And like, you're a sisterhood for each other, and you've created a sisterhood for, I mean, you're fun for all the guys, and you created a sisterhood
for the women.
For the women.
Yeah.
And guys are probably like, why are we having serious talks every fucking episode?
I'm like, sometimes it's really fun and sexy. Sometimes a little bit intense. It just depends. There's no, but you know what? Honestly, like, people this weekend were like, but that's what I love about it, because like, I just don't know what it's going to be. Like, some shows you listen to and you feel like it's like, you know, like it's rehearsed, or there's like a structure. I'm like, yeah, we have no structure. We have no structure.
I said, what were you talking about? She's like, I don't know.
Which episode? I don't know. Oh, I mean, I feel that like, yes, Serena was open to receiving it. And there was someone that was there that was willing to take care of her. We always talk about that, how like for me, the industry saved my life. It didn't break me, because there were many women and men, more so men probably, that were there to go like, I see that you're broken. I see that you don't have this, even though I hadn't said it. I didn't go on set and be like, oh, my dad's dead, you know, or my mom's, you know, what, I have issues with my mom or whatever. But there were many people that came on that said, I'm going to take care of you without you really knowing that I'm taking care of you. Wow. And it made me whole without even knowing that was what was going on, whether it was like the makeup artist or the PA or the director or the co-star or whatever. And I'm like I said, the business saved my life. And I'm hoping that, I know, obviously, like, we didn't turn into like crazy drug addict, you know, people that ended the, it happens. Right. Listen, it happens, but you came out on the other side of it. So I think that, you know, it can eat you alive, or it can save your life. And I think, thank God, we came out on the other side of it.
Oh my God.
Oh, that's beautiful. Thank you. I think the cool thing that this business gives you, if you're open to receiving it, is community and family. Like, we have such a community. We know when we get on a plane to even come to a con, like, we might not even like know who's going to be there, but whoever is there, as far as like other actors or whatever.
Yeah. I mean, look at Andrew today. I was like, oh my God. He's just like, what's hugging me? I was like, oh my God.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. And then you're with Andrew. Yeah, that's so cool.
Yeah.
And then Heather, I'm gonna be like, everyone's friends.
But that's like, do you think that's like the horror community?
Yeah, we talk about that all the time.
Because I don't really see that in other worlds, but I'm not in any other world. Well, I don't know.
We have it in our Power Ranger community.
Indeed. Oh, cute. I love it.
So big. And we were talking about suicide. Obviously, Jason David Frank just took his life, and he was everything to so many.
Wait, people. I don't know. Whoever doesn't know about the story. Was he on when you guys were on?
He was, I'm sure a big piece of your audience knows Jason. He was the original Green Ranger.
Okay.
And he just was like the most popular Power Ranger and was so
fun
and connecting with his fans. Yeah. And
how long ago was it?
In November. It hasn't even been a year. So it's been, but when we're talking about, it's not really my place to say, but I had the fortunate experience of getting to play. He has a movie. I play his wife in a movie that's coming out at the beginning of next year. And his daughter, Jenna Frank, plays our daughter in the film. So we got to have this really beautiful, intimate on-screen family experience together before, but it's devastating.
So how are you?
That he was sad.
And what'd you say? How are you feeling about? I mean, are you
my heart is broken daughter? For Jenna. My heart is broken for Jenna, and I think everybody in our little Power Ranger community, our hearts are broken for his children, and Tammy, his wife.
You obviously saw him at cons. Like, did you?
Yeah.
Did you know like he was feeling like this? Or
I think everybody close to him knew that he was, you know, having a hard time. But he was a professional at making everyone feel like loved and important. And so everybody thought they had a very specific, great relationship with him. Mm. And he was just really hurting. I mean, obviously he was really hurting, but there was a lot of trauma there. Right. But he was like untouchable. He was like that person that was untouchable. Did you ever see him at cons?
I don't know if I did.
Well, probably maybe not, because he was more at the Comic Cons. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was like untouchable. He was like the king. Yeah, he was like untouchable. He was like, came in with an entourage and like music, and he was just gorgeous. And he was everybody's best friend. And a fan came up to me today and said, that she had messaged on some live that he had done, like that she couldn't afford to come to like the signing. She couldn't afford to come. And so in that very moment, his assistant Venmo'd her $100 so she could come to the thing. Like, he was just like that kind of a person, and also really struggling. So, you know, there's like hurt people that hurt people, and then there's hurt people that know pain so well that they like just want to do things to like make people feel loved. And I don't know. When we were talking about that before, this is a bummer, isn't it?
People listening relate to,
but you know, I know that people listening are going to know Jason, and it's just that's always really going to be sad, and it's never going to be okay.
You read another one of these guys. This is from a male, so I wonder if it's kind of a lengthy one. Hi, Danielle and Scout. I hope you both are doing great. Thank you for another amazing episode of your podcast. The time always goes so fast, and I want another hour. I'm writing to you because I've also suffered with depression in the past. I'm always so sad to hear people go through it. It seems that each generation gets more challenging to figure life out. I'm sorry you have both had that experiences that you had. Danielle, that was incredibly unfair of your friend to do what he did. Sure, all the thoughts and feelings are ones you've already had many times. I was in a car accident just before I turned 15 and suffered a closed head injury. On top of that, my family left the town I grew up in and moved across the country near the end of my sophomore year of high school. I had two suicide attempts when I was in my early 20s. These are the only failures in my life, and I was glad to have.
Thank God.
I think the thing people don't seem to understand is that it's rarely about wanting to die. It's about wanting the hurting to stop and having no idea how to make it happen. You don't feel like you have value and you are a burden on the world, so you don't reach out. It is very sad, really. Yeah. If we looked after each other more, even just check on people you care about from time to time, let them know they're important to you, even if you don't talk often. I truly believe things could be different, and it only takes a moment to send someone a message. Whenever someone pops into my head, I reach out to them. It is amazing how often I hear things like, I really needed this today. It took me less than 30 seconds to say, thinking of you, hope you're doing great. I feel very fortunate. I found better ways to deal with life, and I'm now not happily in my early 50s. Ugh. There isn't a day that goes by where I don't realize how lucky I am to be at this point. And I try my best to do something each and every day that matters. To everyone out there, life is all ups and downs. Whatever is daunting today will be changed tomorrow. So get excited about change. Find little things that make you smile.
I love that.
That was so nice.
It's so true. That made me smile, Scott.
Yeah, it's like bad things happen every day and miracles happen every day, and like love happens every day, and like miraculous experiences and serendipitous little special moment, all of that. That's really
special. Like, be open and be present to like understand and see it and take it in.
Mm-hmm. Wow. God, these are really great. People are actually like sharing.
I think it's really important to, you know, again, at the con, like people just coming up talking about like how vulnerable we are and sort of how honest things are and how some other podcasts are like so structured with like the topics they have to cover. And I know when I like, I don't really listen to podcasts. So, but when I watch TV shows, I'm like, oh, there's like, you know, your producer that's like, got to cover this, this, mm-hmm. this. And it feels so sort of like your set list for the day or your scenes you have to do for the day and kind of where you have to go. And I just don't ever feel like we were downstairs and she was like, what are you going to do? What are you going to talk about? I was like, I don't know. Fuck it. We're just going to wing it. I mean, that's sort of the beauty of it, is that it's really just who we are and authentic, and whatever comes up. And most people sort of relate to those conversations. I don't listen to podcasts. Do you listen to podcasts?
No, I don't.
You listen to podcasts, Serena?
No, I don't. I mean, that's not true. Like, I have definitely listened to some, but I did a podcast for a minute. And so it's really hard to listen to podcasts when you're the host of a podcast. So you don't have time.
I've listened to my friends.
You don't like, have time.
Stuff. You know? Maybe that's what makes it different, is that there's not... Maybe
you don't have anything in your head.
No,
it's like you're not trying to like seek to repeat something, somebody else's voice.
I'm not selling anything. Yeah. It's 100% whatever comes up.
Yeah,
it's like being a fly on the wall in a bar of a conversation between people that are honest and open and vulnerable.
Well, that's the kind of stuff if I were to listen to it, I like self-helpy type of if I were reading books, nonfiction types of books, self-helpy type of podcasts, like new ways of like thinking that can elevate my own thinking.
Unless I want to like listen to like Matthew McConaughey's book or something.
Just to hear his voice.
Where's your vibrator, Scout? Don't leave it in the bedside table. It's in the Bible, bitch. Is it?
Yeah. Oh, is it right there? Oh,
yeah, it's there. I don't know. Sure.
It's right there.
The Bible.
The Bible. First thing I unpack, but I'm going to check that Bible for $100, bitch. I promise.
What is that going to do? Put my vibrator next to the Bible. Every time.
I love that there's just like a real, I don't know.
This vibrator travels. This vibrator has been to so many fucking states.
The vibrator should have its own Instagram. And like, you should just take pictures and like, and tag the hotel.
That's
funny.
Yes. Do you have a favorite vibrator?
Put it in the sand.
The one that vibrates.
Or, I don't want any sand in there.
Oh no!
I think was it yesterday? I was masturbating, or was it the day before? I don't know. There was one time that I was like, I think I was just so exhausted, and I was like, I'm just gonna vibrate like masturbate 10 times in a row. But I noticed like I did a new setting, and I was like, oh, what's that? That's a new one.
Really? On your same vibrator?
I just want the fucking stay on.
Solid.
I don't want the fucking.
You want the solid, steady level 3 to 4, depending on where you are, and be done with it. Correct?
I masturbated so much that I was like, okay, Scout, stop it. You're not. There's no more.
Is there anyone out there that likes the like high, low, high? Huh? Is there anyone out there that likes that? Because I'm not interested.
I mean, it kind of, for a second, it was kind of like that. And I was like, oh, this is.
Maybe that's time for that.
Yeah.
Level four, let's go, 18 seconds.
Yeah.
I got to go get my
kids in a hotel room going, what am I going to do before I learn my lines? Oh, right.
How often do you
imagine? That's a procrastination setting when you're procrastinating something.
Yes,
I need to learn my life.
Yeah. Tom and I didn't have any sex on this crazy ass fucking road trip that was supposed to be romantic, but it was the road trip from fucking hell. So I was like, well, okay. And we just fought the entire time. So I was like,
Because you weren't fucking. You should have taken all of that aggression and gone back.
Yeah, with the three dogs are like
days in and fuck the shit out of each other.
Yeah. With the one dog that's like,
Wait, was that a Burning Man or was that a different road trip?
After Burning Man.
Oh, Burning Man. There's no way. There's no romance at Burning Man. Burning Man was flooded. We were like trying to survive.
Oh my God. Okay. You went on a road trip and that was unromantic. It's because Mercury was retrograde and everything was fucked. Now it's back. Actually, yesterday we're back. Everything's direct. So everything's going to be better. It's going to be fine.
Feel good.
But when are you seeing Tom again? I mean, how many
weeks? I don't know.
Is he going to come visit you? Where are you?
I'm in Philly. Philadelphia. And then I leave straight from there to Thailand. And then from
Thailand. Are you going from there to Thailand?
Is this the same movie?
No, a different one.
Okay. So you're going straight from there to Thailand.
And then straight to Thailand to Lexington.
Wait, do you have all your clothes packed and all your shit ready to go to Thailand?
Yeah. Oh no. Did I just cancel you guys?
No, we can still see you.
Okay.
Wait. So you have to go
to. Can you imagine how much anxiety, Serena, would you have if you had to go from where you were to another country?
Well, I could do that before kids.
Before kids, yeah.
BK.
Oh, no.
But not after kids because you have to go home and like do, you know,
check in and give them hugs and then get up and leave again.
Yeah.
I know Tom was having like a freak out at Burning Man. He was like, we're not going to see each other for like 3 months. We're not
gonna- Wait, is it
what?
That
long?
It can't be that long to us.
I know. I'm like, wait, what?
Horrified aunts here.
You guys freaking out? Wow. I'm like super chill. I'm like, this is like.
That's weird.
Why?
Why?
I think it's fine. I think it's
Wait, what are you doing in months? What are you doing in Lexington? How long are you going to be in Thailand?
So I won't see Tom until I think he's going to come up to Scarefest. So the last weekend of October or the second weekend
And that's in Lexington.
So from here until the last weekend of October.
So you go from where you are to Thailand to Lexington.
And then I have 4 days off and then we go to Orlando. And then I go to Orlando. I go to either Savannah or Vancouver to film something.
For what?
There's two things right now.
Okay.
I'm going to choose which one. Well, I want the one, but if I don't get the one, I'm going to go do that one.
Okay.
And then I go to Louisville to film.
So let me ask you something, because this question was posed to me when I was dating someone before my husband, who didn't understand actors' lifestyle, because I was dating this person and then they were like, I was going to London for a thing and this for a thing. And this person's grandmother said to me, how do you expect to have a relationship if you're never with the person?
Mm-hmm.
So are you just sort of running yourself around until you're like, I'm married, I'm going to have a kid, and I'm going to be home and work. I'm going to be with my man. I'm going to do all I can now until then.
I'm I can be home with him and have a baby and be, have a house.
You're like, I mean, if you're, that makes sense. I mean, like, I've done that before. Like, I'm just going to like work and like stack money or whatever. And then like take some time off or whatever. But
that's
I mean,
what I told him.
It's really hard.
I was like, this is our transition time. Like we've got a big year next year. Like we're talking about possibly moving at the beginning of the year. We're getting married and fucker, I want to get pregnant. Like pretty much like right after the wedding.
Okay. Then this is your body. That's different then. If that's what you're saying, I feel like when my body was like, I'm getting pregnant. Like I was overtaken by it.
Yeah.
I was doing things like that. I was like,
do it. Yeah.
And
I also don't think I'm going to stop working. Like I'm going to be like Gabrielle. I'm going to be like, baby on one side, writing a book. I'm going to be. We gotta
You'll figure that out.
I was like, how old were you? How many months was Nico when you started working? Nico?
I got a call when Nico was 2 weeks old from a friend of mine who I've done a few of his movies, or he's a director. He was like, I have a movie, it starts in 2 weeks. And I was like, it starts in 3 weeks. And I said, oh no, I just had a baby. He said, I know. I want to be the first one to bring you back to work. So I did a movie when Nico was 5 weeks old, and I had mastitis. I showed up to set. I had zero sleep, nothing. I showed up with pink eye because I'd like changed the diaper and like wiped my eye. I showed up with pink eye, mastitis. My boobs were huge. And then I was like, you know, it was crazy. And I brought my mom to help me with Nick, with the baby who was 5 weeks old, and we were shooting in a prison in Lancaster.
Of course.
And my baby was in a prison. My mom was like,
it's crazy.
And I was like, we were just like arguing. And I was like, this is my life. Okay. This is my life. And then like, I took him to another movie when he was a year old, and then a con.
Yeah.
And she was like, and we were like on a shuttle at like midnight, like going from like the airport to an airport hotel from a con. She was like, this is crazy.
I know.
Then,
that's my life.
And then it was COVID, and then we didn't go anywhere for 2 years. So right. I got those 2 years. You got a couple of those
with Jack, right?
And both boys.
Yeah.
And so that was actually kind of
a blessing.
It was like forced. You don't have to go anywhere. You can just like Danielle taught me how to breastfeed. Nice. Breastfeed your baby if you want, if you chose your choice.
I was trying to stop it. Me and COVID,
me and this bitch have so much shit going on next year that we did not get to accomplish.
But you're going to get married, you're going to have a baby, and it's all going to work itself out.
I know. So I'm also going to be working.
Yeah, of course you are.
Babies,
but guess what?
You know,
you're never gonna stop working.
You adapt.
Don't ever worry about that. Like everything, like comes in waves and ebbs and flows.
Do you know how many moms listen to this podcast that go to work and have jobs and fucking pump in the bathroom take the milk and bring it back? Like it's just life.
That's what you do as a woman.
That's why we're so fucking badass.
Yeah.
There was a woman at Burning Man that was pumping. That was a part of our camp.
Oh, I love it.
Pumping in her tent. She's like, oh, gotta go pump.
I love breastfeeding.
It's the most amazing thing.
I hated it with Carter, my first one. I hated it because he was tongue-tied and it didn't work. And it was just complicated. And he had surgery, but it still wasn't okay. And then it was hard. And then Jagger was like a breeze. Mm-hmm. I loved nursing him and connecting with him and doing all of that stuff.
I just can't wait for my tits to get big.
They will, yeah,
and they'll hurt.
Mine were like G's.
Okay.
When I was pregnant, they were literally.
Well, she's got big old boobies,
big real boobs. Great, everybody real boobs. On the podcast.
I have asked her years ago, like real or fake. She's like, no, they're real.
You can feel them.
I know they're real. I've seen you naked.
Yeah. So, they went to G when I was pregnant, and then breastfeeding, they were just like crazy.
What does that look like? Is that like?
They were
you'll be like a C because I was a C.
I'll be like,
You're gonna be you'll be like between a B and a C once you start to fill up with milk, and I'll go down, I'll go bigger and go down and get bigger.
It wasn't like cute. It was
porn star baby.
It wasn't cute.
Did you like having sex when you were pregnant?
I did.
Yeah, I did. It's kind of hot, right? In like a weird way.
Well, your hormones are just like everything's like
feel better.
It feels like for me. It depends on the day. Sometimes I was like, oh my God, leave me alone. Other times it was like, I feel really sexy.
I felt the most beautiful I've ever felt while pregnant.
Yeah, me too.
I never felt more beautiful than I was. I don't feel beautiful. I don't feel that way. I actually felt beautiful.
Exactly. That's the perfect way to say it.
I feel like your toes were getting like fat and like your fingers.
No, you know,
I didn't get about any of that stuff. It was so,
I just feel like a woman.
Yes.
Yes. You're like, what is a woman? And like you're having sex and you're on top because you can't really do anything else. And because your fucking belly's in the way.
You can't be on your back.
You're like, okay, doggy style, or you're on top. And you just feel or side. Yeah.
Yeah.
And you just feel really powerful. And sexual and beautiful. I mean, maybe some women have different experiences. I'm sure they do. But I mean, I've had different depending on what day of the week it was, what month it was.
Were both pregnancies the same as when it comes to that?
That's a good question. I mean, it really depended. Like, there was more drama happening in my life with my husband and family with my first pregnancy. My second pregnancy, I was like, fuck them. So I had a little bit more power, I think, in the second pregnancy. The first one was like trying to kind of figure it out. But I also, it was the first time experiencing that stuff. So the first one felt more beautiful at times. The second one was like, I had to kind of navigate a bit around it.
You also had a kid.
And I had a toddler.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who was like sleeping in the room and like hoping I didn't wake him up. But I think for me, I don't know, sex has gotten better. I mean, I'm coming up on 12 years together, almost 10 years married. I can't believe it. So it's gotten better and better. Actually, this is so naughty, but for the first time we have kids, so we have sex during the day. And you will too. I call it Dr. Phil time. So I messaged him like, hey, because he was like fixing like pipes in the neighbor's yard. And I was like, hey, can you come lay some pipe for me a little bit later? And he's like, sure, what time? And I was like, I don't know, 3 o'clock, Dr. Phil time. And for the first time, it was like, I actually, this is so TMI, but had like such rough sex that I bled.
Holy shit.
But it was like, did I just get my period or did that like actually happen? Because it was shocking to me.
What the fuck do you mean you bled?
I was like spotting a little bit. I don't know if it was like, I don't know what was going on, but it was like, he's like, if you want me to put your head through the fucking wall, I'll put your head through the wall. And I was like, oh my God, this is what I've been asking for. But I'm saying after 12 years of being in a relationship, like things can still get to that. I know it's TMI, but
no, it's your podcast.
Things can still get to that level of like, holy shit, I didn't realize that you have that. Like, we still have that.
That's so great.
After having two children, being married for a decade, there's still that time where you're like, holy shit, this is actually like a real thing. And it goes back and forth. But you can make love, you can have sex, you can fuck, whatever. But I don't know, that's totally TMI. I've been drinking whiskey, so I apologize. It's like fucking 10:40 at night for me. You guys are like, wait, you bled? What? I mean,
everyone's freaking out. Everyone's like, wait, are you okay?
I mean, I was like, holy shit, I think I got my period. It's been a minute. But, you know, I mean, it's kind of interesting.
Yeah, man.
That's great. That's the goal.
That's the goal,
that's
right?
That's hashtag goals right there.
To still have that.
Yeah.
That minute of like, you can have your career and your babies and your postpartum and you can come out of it and all of these things in your life. And you can still allow yourself to feel those things and have that connection with somebody.
Like pregnancy sex, great. Postpartum sex,
not so great. Mm-hmm. No.
Oh yeah. No. I like, how long does it take to be able to have sex after you have a baby?
It's not like, even about like how long. It's not even like about like what your you like
want to.
Vagina is ready for.
It's a C-section. So did you.
Yeah.
Right?
It's about, it's like honestly your hormone levels. Don't touch about what?
Oh, it's like, don't touch me.
Your hormone levels are like your estrogen is plummeting. Like, your body is weird. Like this beautiful, sexy, pregnant body.
Right.
Like one of my best friends said to me, oh, by the way, after you have the baby, you're still going to look pregnant for like a long time. Mm-hmm. And I was like, yeah, no, okay. But like, it didn't like really register. So you still like are big as you were pregnant pretty much, but there isn't a baby in there.
Right.
And that it's just weird. And your body is weird and you're hemorrhaging. Mm-hmm. And we had surgeries. So, it's not just like, when are we allowed to on the clock? It's just all the things.
Yeah.
That's,
I mean, I've seen some women go like a year.
Holy fuck.
Yeah. After having a baby that like, they're like, no, I'm not there yet. And like, I kind of understand that. I mean, it does take a moment. I don't know if you feel this way,
but
it does take a moment, right, to like go, I have to get out of mom mode. I have to get out of this feeling and just allow myself to be that person again. Because if I just like shake it off, and allow it's like being in a fight with your partner and you're like, I just need to get to that other side of this. Mm-hmm. If I can just like shake this off and get there, then I can not feel this.
All moms like experiences.
I don't know. I think every mom's different.
I don't know. I just saw some woman today and I was like, whoa, she had a baby in the stroller. So she had a 1.5-year-old, a 3-year-old, a 4-year-old and a 5-year-old.
And she was like,
you were busy.
Was the mommy that had 4 boys?
Yeah.
Like, God bless you.
Yeah, me too. And so she was not waiting a year, obviously. So it's not everybody. We didn't wait a year.
For me, it was like 8 weeks.
8 weeks or something. But like, it's not the same for a while.
It's scary. It's scary.
Yeah.
It honestly is very scary.
Your body feels like fragile.
Yeah. I mean, I was in the hospital in the ER like a week after I had Jagger because I was hemorrhaging.
Oh my God.
So I literally was with my mom, like did not know what was going on, but there was like massive amounts of blood coming out. And then, so of course, like you're like, well, you don't want to let anybody in there.
Yeah.
That's just too soon. So it's like, how do I get over this emotionally of like all this trauma that has happened with my body and go like, wow, now I want to have sex. And then like, people don't want to have sex to connect. But then like, then the next level is how do I achieve orgasm? Mm.
Oh,
from
yeah.
there, like that's a whole other fucking ball game because you've got to be in a totally other mindset to be able to get there.
And you're so tired.
You're tired. And you're
so tired.
You're fucking tired.
What are your advices, ladies, that you can give men out there that are dealing with someone?
Just love the bottles.
I swear you'll get like, the most beautiful blowjobs if you just wash the fucking baby bottles.
Yeah. Oh my God, Mike did that. He washed all of
that. Was it. Blowjobs for days.
Washed all of the
vagina's pump, not working.
The pump parts.
Mouth is. I will take care of you.
And but you change all the diapers. Like
but
that
don't
means.
Expect the mouth to work because the vagina doesn't.
Yeah.
It's got to be like, we've got to talk about it. Don't be like, well, your vagina's broken, but your mouth works.
Yeah, no, yeah.
Don't do that.
Yeah.
Don't do that.
No head pushing.
Oh my God.
Oh my God.
The high school
head pushing. Oh man. I wish I was there. That's gone.
Yeah. Ponytail?
Yeah.
I wish I was with you ladies right now.
Would you say?
I wish I was wasted with you ladies right now.
Do we sound wasted?
Do we sound wasted?
Oh shit.
No, you just sound like you guys are having a good night.
We're not wasted. I mean, it's me and my little.
So we did get Uber Eats delivered about an hour ago.
Jimmy DeBello. He was like, "There's filet mignon. There's a whole bunch of stuff. Just save me some."
Oh, sweet.
Did he just drop it off?
He did.
He dropped it off.
He was scared.
No,
you're not going in there.
At the time we were
imagine
talking
if he
about.
Was right there on the couch right now for this talk.
No, oh, he came shit. In for a second and stepped out and gave him a big hug and thanked him.
Yes. Thanks. It was nice. It's like,
all right, ladies, on that note, that's the Tuesday. That is the Tuesday talk.
The Tuesday?
That is the Tuesday talk. That is it.
That's it. This is what it's like to be on our show.
Talk scary to me.
Talk scary to me. Someone today was like, I love your show. Talk dirty to me. And I was like, it should be called Talk Dirty. Talk
dirty
to me, but it's called Talk Scary to Me.
I love you, ladies.
We love you.
Honored to be here. I'm proud of you.
We love you. We love you.
Beautiful.
You guys go have a fucking drink.
So it's going to air our first episode of October.
Fun.
Getting into the spooky month. What is it? So it's not this Tuesday. It's next Tuesday. What's the date?
Scott? No. It's the last week of September.
Okay. We're almost, we are prepping you for October.
October is going to be a wild one, y'all. Wild. I say wild.
Thank you, Serena Vincent. What's your
At Serena Vincent, C-E-R-I-N-A, Vincent, on Instagram. Follow me for all the goodness. And I love you, ladies.
Are you on Facebook?
I mean, I'm there, but really I'm not Facebook. There. Like,
just, are you on Twitter anymore? Not really, because
now it's like X, right? I am, but like, I'm not doing it. X. So just follow me on Instagram.
Yes.
And, or you can go to my website, serenavincent.net, if you want an autograph.
Please. You can buy one there. Your Maxim photo is still my favorite.
Which one?
The one where you're standing. It's like,
which one?
What was that
from?
It was from FHM for
FHM.
Yeah, but then it ended up in Stuff magazine. But yeah.
Really?
It was a photo shoot for Not Another Teen Movie and it ended up in Stuff magazine.
Oh.
You know how that shit just ends up places?
You're like, how are you asking me?
Yeah, they just was just in
like, oh, we'll put it on your fucking website.
It's there.
Good. Go to her website, follow her on Instagram. She's a bad bitch and we love her.
We're gonna make movies together.
We have big things. We're just starting.
Go to bed, Skip Rope. You've got a 5 a.m. work call tomorrow morning.
We're going to go eat filet mignon.
Good night, everybody.
Good night. Love you.
Bye. Bye.